Introduction. This is not descriptive history in the usual meaning of the term. It is a sequence of chapters, each of which is like a court hearing, where witnesses are brought to the stand to disprove the validity of the old, and to attest to the accuracy of a new concept of ancient history. The old story of mankind, never before disputed, is here assailed as distorted, and a reconstruction is presented. The period under investigation covers over 1,000 years, ending with the advent of Alexander the Great. Many wondrous things happen when historical perspective is distorted. In order to understand the scope of the displacements in the history of the ancient world, one must try to conceive of the chaos which would result if a survey of Europe and America were written in which the history of the British Isles were some 600 years out of line, so that in Europe and America the year would be 1941, while in Britain it would be 1341. As Columbus discovered America in 1492, the Churchill of 1341 could not have visited this country, but must have visited some other land. The scholars would be divided in their opinion as to the whereabouts of that land, and met its chief. Another chief, not Franklin Delano Roosevelt of Washington, would live in history as a co-signer of a charter with Churchill of Britain in 1341. But as American records would speak of Churchill, who crossed the ocean in the early 40s of the 20th century, British history would also have a Churchill too, 600 years after the first one. Cromwell would also be doubled by the same process. He would have to live 300 years before Churchill the first, and also 300 years after him, or 300 years before Churchill the second. The First World War would be fought twice, as would the Second. The First World War, in its second variant, would follow the Second World War in its first variant by 5¾ centuries. By the same token, the development of the Constitution, the cultural life, the progress of technology and the arts would appear in chaotic distortion. Newton, in England, would become an early forerunner of Copernicus instead of following him. Joan of Arc would revive the old traditions of the suffragettes of the post-Victorian days. She would be burned twice, with an interval of 600 years between. Or, with the growing confusion of history, she would have to return to the stake a few centuries from today to suffer her death again. In the case presented, not only the history of the British Isles would be doubled and distorted, but also the history of the entire world. Difficulties would, of course, arise, but they would be swept away as oddities. Complicated theories would be proposed and discussed, and if accepted, they would establish themselves as new, strong obstacles to a correct perception of past history. Ancient history is distorted in this very manner. Because of the disruption of synchronism, many figures on the historical scene are ghosts, or halves, and doubles. Events are often duplicates. Battles are shadows. Many speeches are echoes. Many treaties are copies. Even some empires are phantoms. The primary error can be found in Egyptian history. Because of retardation, the history of Egypt was taken out of real contact with the histories of other peoples. Events in which the people of Egypt and the people of Assyria or Babylonia or Media were involved were recorded in the histories of these peoples from the Egyptian annals. The same events were then described for the second time in the history of Egypt, the annals of these other peoples, participants in the events being the source. Thus, the histories of Assyria, Babylonia, and Media are disrupted and spoiled. The history of the, quote, Hittite Empire is entirely invented. The Greek history of the Mycenaean period is displaced, and that of the pre-Alexander period is lacerated, and Spartan and Athenian warriors, even those well-known names, appear once more on the pages of history as archaic intruders out of the gloom of the past. The process of leveling out the histories of the peoples of the ancient world to an exact synchronism will provide some exciting moments. We shall see in a new light many historical documents which have been misinterpreted when presented in an incorrect historical perspective. We shall read the story of the plagues of the days of Exodus, written by an Egyptian eyewitness and preserved on papyrus. we shall be able to establish the identity of the mysterious Hyksos, and also to indicate the site of their stronghold, Araris, probably the greatest fortress of ancient times. We shall read the Queen of Sheba's record of her journey to Jerusalem in the days of Solomon, and shall see illustrations depicting this voyage and showing the inhabitants, animals, and plants of Palestine of that time. We shall have before our eyes photographs of the vessels and furniture and utensils of the Temple of Solomon as cut in stone bas-reliefs by a contemporaneous artist. Then will follow texts of letters written by the Jewish kings Jehoshaphat of Jerusalem and Ahab, the sinner of Jezreel, and also by their military chiefs, signed with names we know from the scriptures. Of still greater scope are the effects of the revision for Egyptian, Assyrian, and Babylonian histories, and also for the concept of the Greek past. The rectification of chronology, without altering the sequence of the Hebrew past, enriches its records bountifully. The history of Egypt, and following it the histories of Babylonia, Assyria, Media, Phoenicia, Crete, and Greece, changed their length. The architectonics of the world past, when redesigned, show its structure properly joined in time and space. It shows that kings were made their own great-great-grandchildren, imaginary empires were described, and museum halls have been opened to display the arts of empires which did not exist. The art objects are products of other centuries, even of another millennium. This is the case with the Hittite Empire and its art. This is the case with the Hurrian people and their language. Through the laborious efforts of scholars, achievements have been recorded without knowledge of their real nature. The Chaldean language was deciphered, but its decipherers did not know that they were reading Chaldean. Handbooks about the Carian language were written, but the industrious philologists did not know that it was Carian. It is not possible in a short introduction to point out all the things which appear in a new light when correctly placed in time. When the hinges of world history are lifted to an adequate height, facts about peoples and countries, their art and religion, their battles and treatises, pour down as if out of a horn of plenty. Certainly more than one fact and more than one parallel must have been overlooked in this book, but this is a shortcoming from which a pioneer work is seldom free.